a Jew experiences the ruchniyus high on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you reach this level at Ne'ilah time, the whole day you're fasting and davening, you do tshuva, you're free from chataim, and then it's over. Yom Kippur ends. And all of us, of course, you know, want to try to sort of find a way to hold on and maintain that which we gained on Yom Kippur. We want to somehow bring the experience of Yom Kippur with us into our ordinary daily life. That's a goal that a Jew should have, does have. Yeah, but how do you do that? You know, how does one do that? How do you bring Yom Kippur into ordinary daily life? It's such a unique, special event. So I saw an idea here. I saw an idea in the Sefer LaTorah VeLaMoadim of Rav Zevin Zatzal. Rav Zevin was a big gadol in Eretz Yisrael. He's most well known for his Sefer HaMoadim BaHalacha. Very wonderful Sefer on the Yom Tovim. And he has halachas there and some hashkafa there. But he also has a Sefer on the Parshas and the Yom Tovim called LaTorah VeLaMoadim. And the idea that I saw in Rav Zevin's Sefer led me to other makaros, and I saw a theme developing, which is as follows: that Hashem has structured the Jewish calendar in a way that it helps us bring the experience of Yom Kippur with us as we re-enter ordinary daily life. Like the whole structure of the calendar points in that direction, and basically the idea is as follows: the transition from Yom Kippur to ordinary life, the transition from Yom Kippur to ordinary life, if you look at the Jewish calendar, is done in a step-by-step fashion. And when you're, and the idea is as follows: when you have an exciting, special experience, then it's over. And you want to, like, sort of bring the experience with you. The way you carry an experience with you is, you don't just leave and walk away. You walk away in stages. At every stage, you sort of look back and try to sort of hold on to the memories, hold on to the ideas, then leave some more. Let's say when a girl leaves, so you don't want to leave, but you're leaving, so you got on the, you walk up to the top of the steps, you turn back and look at it, absorb those memories. Then you're heading into the van, and you turn back again and to absorb more memories. Then you go up the hill, and you turn back again to absorb some more memories. You try to sort of, as you leave, step by step, sort of carry each stage with you. You don't just turn and walk away. As you're leaving, you turn back to look at what you had and to try to absorb and maintain that which you already had. So that's what's happening here. When Yom Kippur ends, we don't just turn and enter ordinary life. We re-enter ordinary life in a, as we'll see, very careful step-by-step fashion. We go one step at a time back to ordinary life, the goal being trying to bring the ruchnius with us as we go back to ordinary life, and the way to do that is to go in a step-by-step fashion. So let's begin. Rav Zevin says as follows. It's in LaTorah VeLaMoadim on page 310. He says that Yom Kippur, a Jew, is mit'aleh l'mayla me'ha'olam. You almost leave this world. It's asher b'chil, asher b'shtiyah. And you reach a very, very high madrega. Dugmas malachi asharis. You like the malachim. You reach the highest madrega a person can reach during the year. But then he says, "V'lo zohi ha'matarah sofit." This is not the ultimate goal. L'italot kach. Excuse me. The ultimate goal. L'italot kach efshar achas b'shana dovad. This you can only do once a year. But may ha'alah zu tzvicha lavo achar kach hamshacha l'mata. From this high madrega has to be followed by bringing it down l'mata, carrying it with you down here into your ordinary life. V'hamshacha ba'a b'chag ha'sukkos. B'chag ha'sukkot. Zman simchasenu. B'simcha yisere mikale, etc. He says, ein simcha ela b'basar, v'ein simcha ela b'yayin. Mitkadshim u'mitaharim af ha'ochel asher yochal, etc. Rav Zevin says as follows. Sukkos is supposed to be the first step towards ordinary life. It's a Yom Tov, Zman Simchosenu, but it's one step closer to ordinary life than Yom Kippur. In what sense? You're eating and drinking. But the whole point of Sukkos is even your eating and drinking is kadosh. That's the idea. A Jew's gashmius life is kadosh on Sukkos. Eating, drinking, sleeping, just sitting, breathing. You're living in a sukkah. You're surrounded by the Shechina. The mitzvah of Sukkos is such that your ordinary gashmius life is completely a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Everything about your life is a mitzvah. That's the whole idea of a sukkah, that you're eating and drinking. You are back in this world. You're not a malach anymore like on Yom Kippur. But it's completely a mitzvah for 7 days. Just breathing, just existing in a sukkah is a mitzvah. This is the idea that Rav Zevin says here that the hikalut of this closest to Hashem is be'olam hagashmi, in the physical world. Oh, this idea the Gra points out this idea is hinted at in the pasuk. This idea that the sukkah is a very special kind of gashmi's existence. Every aspect of your life, it has the potential to be a kiyum mitzvah, eating, sleeping, breathing, etc. The Gra points out there's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Ayin Vav. It says Vayhi b'shalim sukko u'munato b'tzion. The pasuk compares sukkah and tzion. What's the comparison of sukkah and tzion? The Gra is quoted as saying that these two mitzvahs of Tzion, living in Eretz Yisrael, and Sukkos are similar in that what? These are the only two mitzvahs that a Jew fulfills with his entire being. You enter Eretz Yisrael, and just being here is a mitzvah. You're eating, you're drinking, you're sleeping, you're walking. Just your existence in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So too in a sukkah. You enter a sukkah, and your very existence in the sukkah is a mitzvah. Well, take a mikvah. In a mikvah, a person's in a mikvah, let's say, with his whole body. Yeah, but you can't live in a mikvah. You hold your breath for a second or two. That's it. Mikvah's not the same. Mikvah is a mitzvah which a person performs with his whole body. But you're not living in a mikvah. By a sukkah, by Eretz Yisrael, you're living, you're existing is a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. And in a sukkah. So this is the pshat that Rav Zevin develops. I just added the Gra to it. That Sukkos is bringing the ruchnius experience of Yom Kippur, which was basically out of this world, in a sense, bringing it back into the gashmius world in a baby step. You don't enter ordinary life. You enter a life of eating and drinking, but your entire eating and drinking and living existence is a mitzvah. Sukkos represents the greatest amount possible ruchnius within a gashmius, ordinary gashmius existence. That's step one, from Yom Kippur to Sukkos. Step two, again, is from Sukkos to Shmini Atzeres. The idea is as follows. You're in a sukkah, and everything about your physical life is a mitzvah. Yeah, but that's not normal. That's not normal. A Jew's normal life is where? It's in his house. So your goal is to take the ruchnius of Sukkos back into your house. That's Shmini Atzeres. When you re-enter your house, here's the idea. What does the word Shmini? What does the word Atzeres mean? The seventh day of Pesach is called Atzeres, and the eighth day of Sukkos, you know, the day after Sukkos, the eighth day of Sukkos is called Shmini Atzeres. Why? So some Mefarshim say the word Atzeres means stop, meaning Isser Malacha. There's an Isser Malacha. There's no specific Maisa Mitzvah Deraisa on the seventh day of Pesach. There's no specific Maisa Mitzvah which is unique to Shmini Atzeres. So since the entire nature of the Yom Tov is stop, don't do malacha, so it's called Atzeres. That's one pshat. However, other Mefarshim say different pshat. Tiksav HaKabbalah and Rav Hirsch and others say that the word Atzeres has the connotation of to hold on to retain, to absorb. It's similar to stop. You're like stopping something that you have, you're maintaining it. You retain holding on to. For example, Rav Hirsch writes as follows in Vayikra Parashat Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Rav Hirsch says that Atzeres is not fixed to bring new lessons, but rather to strengthen and solidify the impressions we have already gained. Atzeres means you're coming to the end of a Yom Tov cycle. The seventh day of Pesach is the end of the 7 days of Pesach. Pesach is ending. We have a day of Yom Tov whose purpose is to absorb that which we've gained during the Yom Tov itself and carry it with us. Shmini Atzeres, after Sukkot is over, we have a day whose purpose is to absorb and solidify that which we've gained already. It's the end. At the end of a cycle, you have a day of absorbing and maintaining that which you've gained already. It's interesting. The Mepharshim say that Shavuos is really the end of the Pesach Sfiras Omer Shavuos cycle. The Ramban in Emor refers to Sfiras Omer as Chol HaMoed. It's very interesting, Ramban, that there's Pesach, there's Chol HaMoed, there's Sfiras Omer, then there's Shavuos. And that's why Chazal calls Shavuos what? Atzeres. Because Shavuos is like the closure, the ending of the Pesach Shmini Chol HaMoed Shavuos unit, time period. That's why it's called Atzeres. The Ksav HaKabbalah says in Bamidbar Perek Kaf Tes, he says, what's Atzeres about? V'hachazik b'nafshotenu halimudim hayikarim shehitragalnu behen b'chol yimei hachag. To strengthen in our nefesh those precious things that we've learned and gained that we've become accustomed to during the Yom Tov. That is Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is there to hold on and maintain that which you've gained already. Exactly. What's the idea? You're trying to hold on and maintain the ruchnius level of Sukkot. When? As you re-enter your home. That's the whole theme of Shmini Atzeres. You're re-entering your home now. You're not in a sukkah. You're one step closer to ordinary daily life. You're in your house. Now, it's still a Yom Tov. Shmini Atzeres is still a Yom Tov. That's the idea. It's a Yom Tov. There's a Yom Tov set aside. The whole theme of the Yom Tov, Shmini Atzeres, is the Yom Tov of bringing the experience of Sukkot with you into your ordinary daily life, into your home. That's the idea of Shmini Atzeres. There's a Targum Yonos in Ben Uziel, in the Midbar Perek Kaf Tes, Pasuk Lamed Hei. By Shmini Atzeres it says, Atzeres tihiyeh lohem. So the Pasuk says, the Targum says, Kinishin tehavun b'chedva min mitalelchon livatechon. Kinishas chedva. The word Atzeres, aside from meaning stop, and aside from meaning absorb and retaining, can also mean a gathering. Atzeres is a gathering. So he says, Kinishin means a gathering. You shall gather b'chedva, with happiness, min matalelchon livatechon, from the sukkah to your home. In other words, the name Shmini Atzeres means to gather in from the sukkah to your home. That's the essence of Shmini Atzeres. The essence of Shmini Atzeres is this gathering in. I'm gathering in from the sukkah to my home. Exactly. I'm re-entering my home, and it's supposed to be a knishas chedva with simcha. I'm bringing the simcha of mitzvah from the sukkah into my home. I'm maintaining that which I've gained. I'm absorbing that which I've gained. In what sense? I'm maintaining it and absorbing it back in my home, back in my more ordinary life. Shmini Atzeres is a much more ordinary life in comparison to Sukkot. That's exactly the theme of Shmini Atzeres. It's another step back to ordinary life. I found exactly the same idea in the Moedim Uzmanim of Sternbuch. In Chelek Aleph, Simen Pei He, he has a footnote which he says as follows. He says, Shmini Atzeres, and then he adds one more point. The Shmini Atzeres, mitzvasa simcha b'li sukkah dafka. The whole essence of Shmini Atzeres is a simcha without the sukkah. She'ikar ha-mitzvah lohoros, she'gam le'achar she'azavnu ha-sukkah, nishari etzreinu ma'shekolatnu b'yamim ha-kedoshim. The ikar mitzvah is to teach us, to show us, even after we've left the sukkah, we have absorbed, kolatnu, we have absorbed that, we're nishar etzreinu. We are retaining that which we absorbed during the yamim kedoshim. That's what our Sternbuch says, exactly the same idea. So I thought that it just fits very well based on this. This is exactly why we celebrate Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres. See, Simchas Torah is not a Yom Tov in the Torah, it's not a Yom Tov in the Gemara even. Simchas Torah is a minhag that developed, I think it developed in the time of the Gaonim, I think, I'm not sure exactly when it started, that we celebrate the completion of the Torah and the starting of the next cycle of the Torah on Shmini Atzeres, on the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres. We finish the whole Torah once a year, and we have this celebration on Shmini Atzeres. In other words, I think it's the Gaonim decided that the completion of the Torah cycle should coincide with Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, we celebrate Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres. You know, by the way, In America, sometimes there's a confusion. In America, the first day of Shmini Atzeres is called Shmini Atzeres, and then many people call the second day of Yom Tov Simchas Torah, because the second day of Yom Tov they celebrate Simchas Torah. It's a bit of a misconception. The day after Shmini Atzeres, al pi halacha, is the second day of Shmini Atzeres. It's the second day of Yom Tov. The davening we call it Shmini Atzeres, the same davening. The kiddush is the same kiddush. We give that second day of Shmini Atzeres another name called Simchas Torah because we celebrate the Torah on that day as well. But in its essence, it's really Shmini Atzeres. So we are celebrating Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres. In Eretz Yisrael, it's more clear. In Eretz Yisrael, it's together. On the same day, on the one day of Shmini Atzeres, they celebrate Simchas Torah. In America, when there are 2 days of Shmini Atzeres, so the second day was set aside as to be Simchas Torah, people have this misconception of somehow it's the essence of Simchas Torah. The essence of the day is Shmini Atzeres. It's also the day we celebrate the Torah. But so it's striking. What's the significance of Dafka celebrating Simchas Torah on Shmini Atzeres? So I think one can say as follows. The whole message of Shmini Atzeres is to bring the Ruchnius and Kedusha of Sukkot with you as you re-enter your home. How does one do that? How does one imbue in his ordinary life at home Ruchnius and Mitzvot like you had in the Sukkah? The answer is through dedication to the Torah. The Torah. Celebrating the Torah is exactly the way that we're showing symbolically this is how we're going to do it. How are we going to take Sukkot into our homes? We will take Sukkot into our homes through rededication to the Torah. So we have to celebrate the Torah on Shmini Atzeres because I think that the themes blend together very well. So again, we started at Yom Kippur. We're heading towards ordinary daily life, but we're going step by step. First into a Sukkah, which is a very special form of ordinary life, eating and drinking, but surrounded by the Shechina every minute, of your existence as a mitzvah. Then we go from our sukkahs back into our homes, a one step closer to ordinary life, again, in a small step. Again, it's like you're looking back. As you're leaving Yom Kippur, you keep on looking back and trying to hold on to that which you can do. You leave in a small, step-by-step fashion, as opposed to all at once. Now it's Shmini Atzeres. Okay? What happens after Shmini Atzeres? The day after Shmini Atzeres is Yisru Chag. Yisru Chag is a din, That the Ramon Simon Tovkov test, the first Simon in Hilchos Pesach, he mentions Noagim Laharbo Saksas Bachila. You have a more of a suda on Yisru Chag. Vamina Lo Lizanos, you don't fast in Yisru Chag. Yisru Chag is a din that the first day after Yom Tov, if you celebrate it in somewhat of a special way. Okay, that's Yisru Chag. Now it's striking that the Ramon mentions the halachos of Yisru Chag at the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. In the first Siman of Hilchos Pesach, the Rama mentioned Yisru Chag. Why? Why does he do that? Where would you have put the halachos of Yisru Chag? Correct. At the end of Hilchos Yom Tov. I would have put the halachos of Yisru Chag at the end of Hilchos Pesach, or at the end of Hilchos Sukkos, because Yisru Chag talks about what to do after Yom Tov is over. After Yom Tov is over, so the after Yom Tov is Yisru Chag. Why does Rama put it in the first Siman of Hilchos Pesach? The placement of Hilchos Yisru Chag is very, very striking. What's pshat in the Rama? So I once saw a pshat in the name of Rav Sirotskin Zatzal from Tells. I saw it in the Sefer Rivavos Ephraim by Rav Ephraim Greenblatt Shlita, big Kama Chacham in Memphis, Tennessee. In Chil Gimel, Simon Tuf Mem Beis, he says as follows. He says, The purpose of the Yom Tovim is lihitzalot ha-nefesh, that our neshamas are raised up to in the madrega. V'yichazek ed rucho v'nishmaso b'mitzvah sachag u'be'avira shel kedushaso. During Yom Tov, you have more mitzvos, you have the avira of kedusha. So a Jew's avodas Hashem, a Jew's madrega, is bumped up a few notches on Yom Tov, right? You know, if you, let's say you draw a line. My ordinary life is like, you know, the line is level X. Then on Pesach, you have all these mitzvos, matzah, or the exposure to more mitzvahs, the involvement in mitzvahs raises you up a few notches. So the line goes up a little bit. That's what happens on the Yom Tov. Then what happens most of the time? What happens most of the time is, when Yom Tov is over, you go back to normal, your original level. But that's wrong. That's not the goal. The goal is that which you gain during Yom Tov, you should somehow keep it with you. You want to keep the level which you gain during Yom Tov with you as you re-enter your ordinary daily life. That's the goal. He says, Kamuvan, Ein ha-kavana sha'aliyah zu te-mugbelas, rak l'yimei ha-chag. U'v'motzei ha-chag yashu to ordinary life, ha-chayim ha-kodmim. No, that's not what you want to do. You want to take it with you as you re-enter. Oh. How do we show that we're taking Yom Tov with us as we enter our ordinary life? Zehu inyan isruchag. That is exactly the idea of isruchag. The first day back into ordinary life. I'm driving a car. I'm turning the light on. It's mom's ordinary life. I show it's not so ordinary. I'm celebrating isruchag. There's something special. This is the first day after Yom Tov. Isruchag is supposed to be the bridge from Yom Tov to Chol. Isruchag is the bridge from Yom Tov to Chol, where you're taking the experience of Yom Tov with you as you re-enter your ordinary daily life. That's Isruchag. That's the theme of Isruchag. Isruchag is exactly captures the message of taking Yom Tov with you into your ordinary daily life. Now, we know that if a person wants to accomplish a task, so if you have a plan from the beginning, you'll be more successful in accomplishing your task. A business has a mission plan. They say, here's our mission plan, this is the focus. So the mission plan is stated, and with that mission plan stated, then it's easier to achieve your goal because you know what your goal is. A school has a statement, like a mission statement. This is the goal of the school, and everyone knows the goal of the school. Once you know the goal, it's easier to achieve your goal when you know it before you start. So Rav Soreskin says that's exactly what's happening here in the Ramah. Isruchag, which captures the theme of taking the experience of Yom Tov with you, Isruchag teaches you what Yom Tov is all about. The entire goal, the entire plan for Yom Tov is, I'm going to experience Yom Tov, and then take it with me as I re-enter my ordinary daily life. So he says that's why it comes in the beginning. Learning Hilchos Isruchag is like having a mission statement before Yom Tov begins. What is my goal for Yom Tov? Isruchag. Isruchag is my goal for Yom Tov. How can I capture the theme? My goal for Yom Tov is to grow in Avodas Hashem and grow in Ruchnius by doing more mitzvos, and then when Yom Tov is over, take it with me. How do I think to focus on it? How do I express that goal and I focus on it and think about it? By learning Hilchos Isruchag. Before Yom Tov begins, in the first Siman Hilchos Pesach, I learn Hilchos Isruchag, because Isruchag acts as a mission statement for Yom Tov itself. It's mamash a beautiful pshat. He says, Yediyu Zushu Isruchag is the haskola for all of the halachos of the Chag. And it gets you ready for the Chag itself. It's your mission statement for Yom Tov. Oh, that's the pshat of Rav Soreskin. So then Isruchag then acts as another bridge back to ordinary daily life. When Yom Tov is over, you don't go back to ordinary life right away. The next day after Yom Tov is Isruchag. It is ordinary life, light, driving a car, turning light on, but it's a special day. You have a suda. You're marbuk sas be'achila, and the minhag is not to fast. So what we're seeing here is that when a Jew leaves the madrega of Yom Kippur, he leaves in a step-by-step fashion. And in this way, Hashem is helping us, in a sense, try to maintain this madrig. You don't turn and walk away. You go from Yom Kippur, you're like a malach, into the sukkah, where you're eating and drinking with every second of mitzvah. You go from the sukkah into your home, but it's still Yom Tov. So kadosh day, no isur melacha. You can't do melacha on Shemini Atzeres. So you have a day to absorb the sukkah into your home. Shemini Atzeres is over. The next level is Ruchag, where you're again trying to maintain the level of Shemini Atzeres with you as you enter ordinary life. So this, I think, is a theme that it started with Rav Zevin's approach from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, and I just extended it from Sukkot to Shemini Atzeres and Shemini Atzeres to Isruchag. And finally, I think one can extend this from Isruchag into ordinary life as captured in the month of Cheshvan. And the idea is as follows. I think that if you have this idea, Yom Kippur, down to Sukkot, down to Shemesh, down to Isruchag, it follows nicely, it follows very neatly, that Cheshvan then follows Tishrei. And this idea I saw in the writings of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch, aside from his Perush on the Chumash and other Perushim on different Sifrei inspired in Tanakh, also wrote many articles in German in his Torah journal called Yeshurun. And these articles were collected these German articles in the collected writings of Rav Hirsch. And they were later, in the last 15 years, they were published by the Breuer community in English. They're called the Collected Writings of Rav Hirsch, 8 volumes. So volumes 1 and 2 discuss the months of the year. And Rav Hirsch has insights and themes about the various months of the year. So in volume 2, on page 181 and 182, Rav Hirsch discusses Cheshvan. You know, it's interesting. You know, Cheshvan is a bit of a Nebuch month. Every Jewish month has some theme. Some theme. A positive theme, even a negative theme, a theme of Avelus. Something special about the month. And the Cheshvan has nothing. Rav Hirsch writes, every month of our Jewish calendar has received from Jewish law, from Jewish history, some unique characteristic by which it makes its own special impact upon our minds and spirits. Mar Cheshvan is the only month that has not favored us with such a, gift. While the preceding month, Tishrei, offered us so many deeply stirring days designed to bestir within us solemnity and rejoicing and generate an abundant treasure of mitzvos whose truths from the very foundations of our lives, whose truths form the very foundations of our lives, Mar Cheshvan is nothing. What's the pshat of Mar Cheshvan? In other words, what's the message of Cheshvan? Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem give us number one a month with no special theme, no special days? And why does Mar Cheshvan b'dafka follow Tishrei? Tishrei is full of Yom Tovim. Everything is special and exciting. And then after Tishrei, Cheshvan, you know, bland Cheshvan. What's the pshat with Cheshvan? So Rav Hirsch says a beautiful idea. I'll read what he says and I'll try to explain it in my own words. Mar Cheshvan has no other message for us except that after a month of such an abundance of special days, we should start out on the everyday path of Jewish life. We should start out on the everyday path of Jewish life. Meaning, Cheshvan reflects ordinary daily life. That is exactly the theme of Cheshvan. Start your ordinary life. Tishrei was special days, Yom Tov, Kedusha, Yom Kippur, etc., Sukkot. Now it's time to begin, people. Oh, let's go. Begin your ordinary life. However, our verse continues, it is the routine of everyday life which reflects our true existence. If there's one sentence in our verse's writing that captures this whole approach, I think this is a good sentence. It is the routine of everyday life which reflects our true existence. In other words, my true existence, my true essence, is how I serve Hashem in my ordinary daily life. And that is captured in Cheshvan. In other words, the Dafka Cheshvan has no Yomim Tovim. The Dafka Cheshvan has no special theme. The theme of Cheshvan is exactly routine, ordinary life. After a month like Tishrei, you follow with Cheshvan. Tishrei is the month of inspiration, and Cheshvan is the month of application. Tishrei is the month of inspiration, and Cheshvan is the month of application. Cheshvan is like saying, look, you had a Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you reached the apex, the peak of your Ruchnias on Yom Kippur, and then you went down a notch to Sukkot, then down a notch to Shmini Atzeres, then down and ask to Isruchak, each time trying to hold on to that which you've gained. Okay, let's see now. Here's the test. Cheshvan is a testing ground. It's time to start. It's time to bring it, and it's time to bring that Ruchnius into your ordinary life. And let's see what you've really gained. Let's see what you've retained. That's exactly the role of Cheshvan, as our first explained. I think it fits very well that after the step-by-step progression from Yom Kippur back to ordinary life, you have a month whose entire symbol is ordinary life. That's why there's no bumps. Cheshvan is like a month with no bumps. Nothing special. Exactly. It's ordinary life. Tishrei is the month of inspiration, and Cheshvan is the month of application. Okay, this is an approach to the idea of taking the inspiration of Yom Kippur with you as you re-enter your ordinary daily life. I just wanted to mention that Rav Hirsch, in that same essay, goes on to discuss the importance of brachos. He says that, you know, brachos are almost all the brachos are midrabanan. Chazal established the brachos. What's the message? What's the idea of brachos? So Rav Hirsch explains, you know, Shemoneh Esrei is a very exciting time, very close to Hashem, but Chazal, with brachos, wanted to transfer the divine service from the periphery of the temple into the activities and pleasures of everyday life. From the periphery of the temple and into the activities and pleasures of everyday life. In other words, Shemoneh Esrei is like avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very powerful, intense connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Tishrei. That's Shemoneh Esrei. Then Chazal want us to take that experience from Shemoneh Esrei into ordinary life. Every aspect of life, I bless Hashem. That I try to find Hashem in every area of life, not just at the exciting special times, but in every area of my life. I want to thank Hashem and respond to Hashem. Oh, that's what Rav Hirsch writes, that brachos captures this theme of taking Hashem with you into your ordinary daily life. He writes here in Chorev, in paragraph 672, what would the divine inward worship be worth if it did not return us to active life in a holier, stronger, more God-filled state? And if it did not transform our whole life into divine service? That's brachos. We use brachos to help us bring the experience of our tefillos with us as we enter ordinary life. And in every aspect of our lives, we thank Hashem and bless Hashem. So that's our first approach to Cheshvan, which he connects to brachos as well. And that's the idea of the transition from Yom Kippur down to ordinary daily life. And we'll stop here.